Amen. Hallelujah. Say, you're too young to be their spiritual mama. Thank you. Thank you. I know. Praise the Lord. How are you guys doing? Are you guys expecting for what God's doing here? I know you probably know it, some of you, but I know for our Go Ministries team and the 1440 team, there has just been this expectancy inside of us. It's like butterflies. It's like the top of a roller coaster. And the closer we get to Jesus' return, the more exciting these times get than when we come together to celebrate Jesus and to learn about Jesus and exalt Jesus. I've been doing youth ministry just a few short years compared to my dad's 40, right? I mean, but every year gets more exciting because I know that Jesus is coming soon. And I heard Pastor John say it this morning, and man, I was just like, yes, that's it. He said, you are the generation that is going to escort the coming of our King. And that's why it gets more excited every time we meet, because we get closer and closer to that. So I say that because don't just approach this like every other time. Don't approach this like every other 3 o'clock session. God has got something new for you. Anthony said it earlier, and I loved what he said. He said, say, God's got something for me. Right now, he's got something for me. And now I want to ask you something as I start this morning before I pray. What do you have that you're not willing to give up? Say that with me. Say, what do I have that I'm not willing to give up? I want you to think about that as we pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time together with this amazing group of young people that you've called for such a time as this. Lord, I'm thankful and honored that you would call us to be able to impart your word and your spirit and what you're doing in their lives and in our lives today in this session. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides every single word that comes out of my mouth. I thank you that it's from you. It's not from Lacey, but it's from you, and that every hearer would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing on planet Earth today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Say this with me, not my will, but your will. I'm going to teach on that on Wednesday. If the Lord is willing, I want to teach on prayer on Wednesday. And Jesus said that when he prayed. He said, not my will, but your will. He taught us the rules to the kingdom of God. And in this takeover that we've been talking about, really, the takeover happened 2,000 years ago. You know? We're kind of behind, I think. We're trying to get you guys excited about something that happened 2,000 years ago. But you have to do that. Like Dad said, like Josh said, you got to have themes that remind us what Christ did 2,000 years ago. The takeover already happened. The switch in the atmosphere and in this world already took place. But we're 2,000 years later, and we don't have all those ancestors and ancestors and ancestors and ancestors and ancestors and ancestors that maybe brought it along to get us excited about it today, 2,000 years later. So that's why we're having convention, amen? And that's why we're having 1440 group, and that's why Lacey's here to talk to you guys today, because we got to get excited about what God is doing on this earth, amen? It is so exciting, y'all. I want to just tell you a testimony real quick. Most of you have probably heard a part of my testimony, but I used to, you know, I was a preacher's kid. I grew up a preacher's kid, and I went to every single convention, every single youth camp. My dad is back there, and the Nordykes they're sitting next to them. Wave your hands. I was just thinking about you guys. They had such an amazing impact in my life. They were me right now, and I was you. Does that make sense? And now they're sitting back there listening to me talking, and it's like, whoo. What an amazing opportunity. But I was you, and they were me. And they were telling me these things. And so, I did this. I lived what you lived. Josh, too. He grew up in every youth camp, every youth event, every conference. We sat in those things. And then I began to run from the Lord at an early age. I'm not going to go into my long testimony. But I found myself back when I was 21 years old, and I had lived the fun life in the world. You know what they say that is? You know, rap videos, what do they say that is? Cars, women, money, what else? Drugs, partying, clubs, you know, whatever else the rap songs say is the life, okay? And I had been, what? Did you have something else? Yeah. Oh, okay. All those things I had been living. And when I came back to the Lord at age 21, I found myself actually at a Go Ministry service on the left side of the speakers right here. And I had come into praise and come into worship, and I had felt something that I hadn't felt in like 5 years. It was the presence of my Jesus. Again, the takeover that happened 2,000 years ago was available for me, but I had been running. I had been doing my own thing. I had so many things that on my agenda, my will, that I was doing, thinking that it was being pleasurable and thinking I was living the life. And then all of a sudden, there I was, and Jesus came to me. And that's what I love about this skit. I asked them to do this skit. Aren't they amazing? Y'all give it up for our drama team. Not just the fact... I know they would say glory to God because it really is. They write those dramas. They take our sermons and they write the videos and write the dramas out of the sermons that God has given, you know, this generation. It's just amazing. And Jesus taught that way. And I just think they're just incredible. But I had asked them to do that because if you pay attention to what's happening in that drama, each one of those people, could you identify them? Do you know who they were? Some of them are kind of hard to figure out. There was Peter, John the Beloved, there was Mary, mother of Jesus, there was Mary Magdalene, and then there was John the Baptist. What was so unique about each single one of them is that they had this experience with Jesus. They met the man of Jesus, and it took over their life. When I was 21 and I found myself at a service just like this in front of those left side, these speakers over here, what happened was I had known about Jesus. I had been at every convention about Jesus. I had been told about Jesus. I actually lived for Jesus for quite some time, you know, 16 years. And I was all of a sudden taken over by Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because you can come in here and come out and it's like, yeah, I've heard about Jesus. I know Jesus. But when I met him at 21, I had been living all this life thinking this was the life. There was something he gave me that day that was better than every single thing I had ever tried in the world. And it's still the same thing that is enough for me today. And I'm 31. That was 10 years. I just turned 31. That's 10 years later. Where he found me over there is the same thing that I live for and breathe for and have my being in now. That's a takeover. Talk about a takeover. Not just I know about this Jesus, I have a relationship with Jesus, I go to church, I sing about Jesus, I even work for the youth ministry, I'm in youth leadership. All of these things are great. But if it does not sustain you, if you don't have the sustenance of what keeps that relationship going every single day, and it is Jesus and Jesus alone. It's his person. It's not a personification of Jesus. It's not the name of Jesus, although there's power in the name of Jesus. Don't get me wrong. It's not this facade that we have about Jesus. It's Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't, you will. It's Jesus. It is Jesus. But each single one of those people that were in that drama, including myself that day, found myself needing him, but having to give up something. And in order to get that full sustaining part of the person of Jesus Christ, you have to be willing to give up what already sustains you. Because what was sustaining me in those years was partying, money. I mean, basically everything the rap songs say. That's what was sustaining me, at least, you know, to have some sort of good life for those years. So in order that I might have him be everything to me, I had to give up what was actually sustaining me. And I'm going to show you this in scripture because it's pretty amazing. If you got lots of things, if you answered that question where I've got lots of things that I'm not willing to give up, you're not going to like me today. And you're not going to like this session. But it is the best thing for you. It is the best message I can give you because it's the message that Jesus Christ brought. And he was not afraid to say it. He did not come lightly and say, you know what, I mean, I love you, so I'm okay with what you're doing, but I just want you to know there's a better way. No. He was very clear. The takeover happened when he hit planet Earth as a little infant. Listen, and it is amazing because I just had an infant. You guys remember I was pregnant last time? Little Grayson is 8 months old. You guys will be able to see him this week. He is the sweetest. Do we have a picture of him back there? Probably not. Oh my goodness. He is so sweet. And let me tell you, when you have a child, you are taken over. Your house and your life is taken over. Talk about the ultimate takeover is when you have an infant. Like you don't even, your days are taking over. Your nights are taking over. Your sleep is taking over. Your body is taking over. Your finances are taking over. Everything. And it is the most amazing takeover. And I always find it so interesting that that's how the Lord chose to bring Jesus to earth. Because babies have a way of bringing everything back to that baby. I mean, Grayson comes in a room. It's like, it's amazing what a baby can do to a grown man. If you see my husband, I mean, he's the sweetest, isn't he? He's already so kind. But you see this man with this child, it is ridiculous the things that you get on video that I want to put on YouTube. Because what it can do to a grown man, it's like you will stand, Anthony and Shouty, they will fly through flaming hoops to get Grayson to laugh at them. I mean, they will dance, like they don't even care who's looking. Well, obviously they don't care who's looking, you know, they don't have image problems, obviously. I'm just kidding. But it's amazing what everyone will do for this baby and what it does to a grown man, and including my dad. I mean, my dad is already crazy, but he's crazy about his grandkids. I mean, it's like everything stops. The whole world stops for my parents when children are involved. I'm like, were you like that with us? Because I don't really remember that. I remember being like, your world revolves around me, okay, and we'll get to that. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. They were really good to us. But it's a whole nother level with grandchildren. Trust me, one day you will understand. But I think it's so interesting how the Lord brought Jesus to us. He brought him as a baby. And the whole world stood in attention to honor this new child that was to be our king and was to be the Lord and to be the ruler of the new kingdom that was taking over planet Earth. Isn't that amazing? What a humbling experience it was for all those ones who came and bowed to him. This is the one who's going to take over the world. I mean, Herod was thinking it was going to be this great king, and he was looking for a man because he uses the simple things to confound the wise, the Bible says. So he wanted to use this simple, this humble little baby to be the ruler of the world. And that day changed our lives forever. And that was the ultimate takeover. And when Jesus comes on the scene, there is something that what's that word mean, takeover? It's kind of an aggressive word, actually. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's a very aggressive word. And it's taking over what? Whatever it is that you had before. Taking over whatever it is that you had before. When Jesus came, it took over the kingdom or the law that was in place. Whatever there was before, Jesus came and took it over. And when he comes in our lives, every day he wants to take over whatever it is, whether it's what the enemy has told you or what the enemy has done in your life. He wants to take over whatever it is that is in your life that's not of him. And that's aggressive. And sometimes we're just like, you know what? The Lord, he's just patient with me. Yes, he is. He just loves me the way I am. Yes, he loves you. But he is ready to take over everything that has snared you in sin or that you have been laying in condemnation over. He is ready to take over your life, and I'm going to prove it to you. And the greatest stories in the Bible are what you just saw on that stage. Those stories are so amazing. Peter was a fisherman. I mean, can you only imagine? I thought I was living the life. Peter was like, you know, I'm a fisherman. This is just what I do. And then Jesus came, and the Bible says that he immediately dropped what he was doing and took off after him. Why? He was like taken over by the stature of this man and the love of God that must have been in his eyes and said, whatever you've got is better than what I'm doing. Whatever you have is better than what I've been doing. And that's where he found me at 21. I said, this feeling, what you're doing right now, that your presence on me is better than what I've had for the last 5 years. I am dead inside. I am starving inside. I am bleeding myself to death on the inside because my spirit was so weak and his presence washed over me. And I said, what you've got is better than what I have. And that's why I asked you this morning or this afternoon to ask yourself, what do I have that I'm not willing to give? Because if it's of the world, listen, it will never satisfy you like Jesus. It will never give you the sustaining power or the sustaining love or the sustaining peace that Jesus does. It's just who he is. It's not what Jesus does, by the way. It's who he is. So we try to get things by things, but Jesus isn't a thing. We don't talk about Jesus just like he's a thing. We don't talk about him just like he's a facade. He is all of these things to us. And that's when you really begin to tap in to the fullness of who Christ is. And I was so willing to get rid of what I had because what he had showed me that day, his presence and his love, was more than I had ever had. Amen? And I wanted to read to you a really sad story in the Bible. Are you ready? My dad says that Isaiah chapter 39 is the saddest book in the Bible. It's because King Hezekiah was told that all his children were going to be eunuchs and they were going to be sold and everything bad was going to happen. And he said, oh, this is good news because it's not going to happen in my day. Dad says that's the saddest scripture and saddest passage in the Bible. But I have one that I think is even sadder. Are you ready to go there with me? Matthew 19. Because you're looking at all these people, John the Baptist, Mary Magdalene. Just think, she was caught in the art of adultery. She was fixing to die. And Jesus came and said, go and sin no more, I've forgiven you. That's a lot better than what she had, right? Life everlasting was better than death, right? The woman at the well in John 4, Jesus met her and she thought she was living the life. She was kind of under the radar of everybody else. She was being judged by people, but yet she kind of slipped under the radar of everybody's judgment and kind of just did her own thing. She was happy doing her will. She wasn't really married to all that. She was, you know, had been married a bunch of times and just kind of doing her own thing with her life. And then she meets Jesus and Jesus says, instead of what you're drinking, what you should be drinking is me. And all of a sudden she had this revelation, what you've got is better than what I've had. And she switched and she went and told everybody. And that's the kind of experience we're looking for, a takeover. But we just can't come in here really, you know, passive about what God wants to do in our lives this week. We have to lay it out on the table. Like we sang this morning, Jesus, Jesus, all I want is more of you. Less of me and more of you. And in order to have more of him this week, I'm assuming that's why you guys came here, right? Did we come? I mean, maybe some of you were forced, but praise the Lord. Thank God for whoever forced you because they knew that all you needed was more of him and less of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're going to find ourselves at a place, I believe, tonight or today and throughout the rest of the week where we're saying, oh, I gotta get rid of that. I want more of you, so that means less of me. I've got to get more of you, so I'm going to release more, you know, all these things that have been holding me back. So let's not be the rich young ruler. That's what this story is about in Matthew 19. Can you put it up there in the New Living Translation, please? Starting in verse 16. I'm going to go ahead and read because I just want to point out a couple things in the New Living. And behold, there came a man up to him saying, teacher, what excellent and perfectly and essentially good deed must I do to possess eternal life? Now, This is really cool because all those people that I had mentioned before and in the drama, they had had an encounter with Jesus. They saw Jesus and they accepted the takeover. They accepted the challenge of who he could be in their life. Again, remember Jesus, when he came, he was taking over the old system of how people did things and putting a new system in place. Amen? And either you were going to accept that or you were going to refuse it. And still that's happening today. Either you're going to accept it or you're going to refuse it. And this man came with all those old things. It goes on to say that he said, what do I need to do to be good? Again, he had the law on his mind because he had been living that old life. He had been living the law. He had been living the old system. And here he is asking the new system how it's done and what he needed to do. And I like to picture myself in this because this is how I think Jesus is. Patronizing is not the right word, but I think Jesus, he had such discernment, and he knew that what this guy was asking him wasn't going to receive. Jesus taught a lot of times in parables because he knew that the people weren't going to receive everything that he had to say, that his father had to say, and they weren't going to have ears to hear it. So he taught different people different ways. Amen? And this guy, he said to him, "Why do you ask me about the perfect and essentially good? There's only one." Is it up there? Oh, here. So, can you go back to that scripture, verse 17? "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good." Now stop there. This guy wanted to know how the takeover was going to have process. We do this personality test. You guys have heard us mention this, the beaver, the lion, the otter, the golden retriever. I have a feeling that this guy was a beaver. Because beavers, like, they're ducks in a row. They're very analytical. It's like everything is black and white. How many are you like that? Like, you follow the rules to a T. You have to read the instructions before you assemble. We only got a couple of you in there like that? Wow. Okay, how many otters do we have? Or the crazy, fun, go lucky life of the party? Let's just think about the rules later and deal with the consequences later. Okay, and then the lions are the strong, born leaders who just dominate. Like, they are the ones who make the rules, and this is what we're doing. How many we got of that? All right. You can be a little of both. And then we've got the golden retrievers who just, they love to follow the rules. They just love to please people. They're just soft, tender-hearted, care about people, loyal. How many we got of that? Okay. Now, I think any of those three personalities would have been different. This would have been a different story. But I have to believe that this guy was a beaver. My husband's a beaver. And I'm an otter lion, and he's a beaver golden retriever. Doesn't God have such a sense of humor? He put us together, and he's like, "Figure it out." And we're almost going to celebrate our 8 years, and we're still figuring it out. And we're still figuring it out. But it's so hilarious because I'm like, "Well, I don't understand. What, like, let's just do it like this. I mean, we'll just figure it out as we go." And he's like, "No, we got to make sure. I mean, we got to type this up. We got to print it out. We got to make sure it's in front of us." I'm like, "Oh, we'll figure it out." And then he's like, "Hey, did you feed Grayson on time?" He's like, "What time is his feeding time?" I'm like, "Oh, it's soon." He's like, "He's got a timer." And he's like, "It's been 4 hours, it's time to feed Grayson." I'm like, he's the most involved dad in the world, but he's afraid that my child might starve if he doesn't get involved, because I'm just like, "Yeah, we'll just feed him whatever. We'll just figure it out as we go, you know." So I don't think that's how this guy was, because if he would have said to him, like, I just think if Jesus was here and he said, "I'm the good one," I've been like, "Sweet, all right, let's follow this guy." You know, just like probably Peter. Peter was an otter, hands down. Peter was the ultimate otter. He was the only one willing to get out on the water. I mean, just think, the ultimate otter is like, "Yeah, you want me to come out of the water? Let's do this. This is sweet." And the rest are like, "I don't know about that." And then Peter was willing to speak up and make a fool of himself. You know, that's what an otter does a lot of times. They have to, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to speak out of turn." But this guy, he's telling him the answer. He's saying, "I am the one. Why are you asking me about this list?" See, a beaver wants a list. I'm not going to give you a list, because that's the old way. I have come to take over that old way and fulfill that old way of the law, where it's not do this and don't do that and do this and do this and you'll have all this. He was trying to impart the takeover to this young man. And he said, "But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." See, I feel like he was saying, "I am the one." And that I think that beaver was probably like, and the reason I say that is because in the next verse, well, because Jesus says, "Okay, fine, follow the commandments." And he says, "I've done all of that. Which one's the man's asking?" And Jesus replied, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely." Verse 19, "Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 20, "I've obeyed all those commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Now, what this looks like to me is a picture of somebody who was so hungry and so looking for more, so looking to be taken over, but because he had this old way and he wasn't willing to let go, he wasn't able to receive. And that is the scariest story of what this week could be for you. Because you have been doing things for so long the same way, and you have been holding on to these things, that Jesus is here in the room. He's here right now. He was here this morning. He'll be here tonight. He'll be here this whole week. And you would only receive partial information and partial impartation from Jesus himself because you're hanging on to whatever it is that you've got. That's why I asked you when we started this, what do you have that you're not willing to give? Say that with me. Say, what do I have that I'm not willing to give? And I pray that the answer to that would be nothing. I pray that when the Holy Spirit finds you in worship and when he finds you in praise, you're open, the gates of your heart are flooded so wide open that you're able to say, Lord, there's nothing. There's nothing that I'm not willing to give. And some of you may be living in a way, you know, that it's fine. You're like, I'm fine. I mean, I'm good with Jesus. Yes, he's my, you know, I've accepted him to my heart. I'm good. But I'm asking you if you would be willing to open up your heart a little bit more to see all that Jesus is and all that Jesus can provide for you. Because when you do, there's no going back. I'm 31, 10 years of being totally sustained by Jesus himself. No other artificial things. Like my dad says, I don't need Starbucks. I don't need caffeine. I don't need my husband's love. Now that's good. And God called us together. I don't need things from men. I am totally sufficient in Jesus Christ. And once you find that, listen, you are totally taken over and you're a new man. You're a new man. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 5. You become a new creature or a new man. And once you start living that way, you don't want to go back to the old way. Amen? But this man said, I have done all of these things. What do I still lack? Stop there. What else must I do? And I want to just challenge a law way of thinking this morning. Maybe because you grew up in church or you're a pastor's kid, you think all the things that you do bring you righteousness before Jesus. I just want you to throw it in the trash. I want you to throw it in the trash this morning because none of that stacks up to anything. According to Jesus, but also Paul repeated and said, nothing that I have amounts to anything. He actually says dog dung. If you look it up in the translation in Philippians 3, he says it's dog dung, like dog poop. That's what all of his accomplishments add up to, if you really look it up. I love youth ministry because everyone's like, she just said poop. I love it. I love it. But that's what he was saying. All of that amounts to nothing. So I want you to just go ahead and throw that in the trash. I want God to get real with us this week. I want him to get into our heart of hearts and check us out and see what is going on with us. And if there is a place that we can grow and a place that we can let go, I want it. How many are with me? Amen. Say, what do I have that I'm not willing to give? So he says, what else must I do? This guy was hungry. He had a level of hunger in him because he's bold enough to go to Jesus and ask what he needs to do. But I believe because of these next couple scriptures, it deafened his ears to actually hear the answer he was looking for. Because now the real deal comes. He was kind of playing church with Jesus, and so Jesus kind of just gave him these answers that would, you know, help sustain him because he knew he didn't have ears to hear. But then his hunger pulled it out of Jesus. His hunger level of asking him this other time, what else must I do? That hunger level pulled it out of Jesus. And finally, I just see Jesus going, okay, son, you really want to know? I'm going to tell you. And he gives it to him and he says, Jesus answers and told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. Now, this is so interesting, and I want this to sink in because I know right now it's, I don't want it to go over your heads. I don't just be like, oh, reading it on a page. Listen, Jesus gave him the solution to his life. And I want you to know it wasn't selling everything he had. It wasn't selling all that he had. It wasn't even giving to the poor. That wasn't the solution. It was just that those things were in the way of the takeover. Those things were in the way of the answer that he was looking for. And until those things were gone, he couldn't even see the answer right in front of him. Jesus, the walking answer, was right in front of him. And he's right there. And a lot of times you see, when they had these encounters with Jesus, just like Peter, he said, follow me. He says, yes, sir, okay. I mean, it was like the answer. It was like, he's the walking answer. So Jesus knew his level wasn't there because here he was face to face and he wasn't getting the answer that he needed. So he knew it, you got to get these things out of your life. You got to let go of these things and completely let me take you over. And then you can follow me. Isn't that amazing? The answer this rich young ruler was looking for was this last part, follow me. That was the answer to this young man's life. And that is the answer for the young men and the young women that are sitting before me today. That is the answer that you've been looking for. You've been asking for more of God. You've been asking what the next step is. You've been saying, Lord, why am I going back to this past sin? Why am I stuck in this addiction? That is the answer you are looking for. It's right here. Follow me. That is the ultimate takeover. And listen, we're going to get some places this week and we're going to talk about taking over this world and for Christ and we're going out there and being bold like the disciples. But first, you must be taken over before you can take over anything. We must first be taken over by Jesus before we can go and take over anything. That's what we tell our interns when they first come. It's like we've got like 50 or 40 sometimes, like whatever the number is, excited young people ready to rule the world for Jesus. And they sign up and they're like, I see Go Ministries and that's what I want to do. That is awesome. Let's go take over the world. I mean, just, they are not lacking zeal in any area at all when they show up. And guess what we do? We say, you put down that gift. You put down, not that excitement, but you put down that zeal and you sit down and you become a follower of Jesus. You're going to let go of all those possessions. You're going to let go of all those things that made you who you are. And you're going to sit here and you're going to become a student of Jesus. And you're going to learn to be a disciple of Jesus. And you're going to follow Jesus. And then we will start generating the ability and the power to take over this world for Jesus. So as much as I want to get to that, the Lord just had it so strong in my heart for you guys this first day. We actually changed the speaker schedule. I wasn't supposed to speak until Wednesday. And I said, the Lord just had you guys on my heart. And I said, Josh, can I please teach them on Monday morning? They got to know that Jesus wants to radically, absolutely destroy the life that you once lived and take over your life in him. And you guys begin to walk together. And I want to tell you, like you said, well, my life is good. And my life, it can always be wrecked more. Every time I get into worship, my life is good. And I love Jesus. And I would rather cut off my right arm than disobey God. That's my motto in my life. That was my spiritual mother, Pastor Lynn Hammond. That's her motto. She said, I'd rather cut off my right arm than disobey God. And I say the same thing. But every time I get into worship, I go, Lord, more. Lord, there's more. There's more. There's more. So even if you think, man, I'm good. Lacey, I'm good. Lacey, I've been sitting good. I'm working in youth ministry and I'm helping my parents' church and I've been reading my Bible every day. There's more. It's good news to know that there's more for you and more for Jesus to take over. And the more he does, the more blessed you are and the more happy you are and the more you want. Because less of me equals more of him. Amen. So the answer you're looking for this week is to become a follower of Jesus. I want to show you this. And if you flip over to it, well, actually, let me just finish this. I'm going to go to the message now. Matthew 16. I could just read it if you guys can't get it up there. But I love how the Amplified said verse 21. It said, Jesus answered him, if you would be perfect, have the spiritual maturity which accompanies self-sacrificing character. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. And come, be my disciple. Side with my party and follow me. Now, this guy had to be pretty blind because here's Jesus. I don't know if you guys know Jesus' posse, but they were all young. They were all young adults. I think they were all under the age of 30 is what some studies say. They were all about Go Ministries age, the age you guys are about to be. They were all that age. When I saw Go Ministries for the first time, and my father founded Go Ministries, he's the director of Go Ministries. I had been looking for that. I went to private school, Christian school my whole life, and I had been looking for a group of young adults that really loved Jesus and were cool at the same time. Can I get a amen? I didn't know it did exist. I went to this private school, and it was either you were the bad girl or the bad guy, or you were the overholy, like, chapel band director and also the ACT student of the year and also the, you know, director. I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying it was one or the other when I was growing up. This, like, girl's going, obviously, it's the same still. She's going, yes. I was desperate to find that you could have both. So when I saw Go Ministries, it was a done deal. I was like, oh, there it is. That's awesome. I didn't know you could be cool and be young and love Jesus at the same time. That's what I want. Sign me up. And so I signed up, and see, I'm still here. But this guy must have been blind because Jesus was with his disciples. They were all hanging out. They were all right there with him. These young adults on fire for the Lord, just doing great exploits with Jesus. I mean, they're hearing about stories of them going here and healing the blind and going up into this mountain. I mean, just adventures their lives were when Jesus was on the earth. And so this guy obviously knew these things, and he's surrounded by all his disciples, and he must have been so blinded because of how much he had that he wasn't able to see the life that he could be a part of, because that's what Jesus said. I love in the Amplified. It says, be my disciple. He's basically saying, be one of us. Be one of us. That's what he was saying, because here were all his disciples. Side with my party. And you can just see them all going like, come on. Like, listen to him. You know? Come on. I mean, that's what we do in Go Ministries. We're like, come on. Trust me. Just come. Your life can be changed. Trust me. But I can just see the disciples like, yeah, listen, you could be just like us. He was the rich young ruler. He was their age. He was going through the same things with them. Be on my side and follow me. And then in verse 22, this is what makes it the saddest chapter, I think, in the Bible. Verse 22. That was the last thing the young man expected to hear. Now, talk about expectation. What was he expecting to hear? What do you think this young man was expecting to hear? He wanted a list of do's and don'ts because he had been under the law for so long. He wanted to know that what he was doing was right or wrong so he could move on in his life. When freedom, the new law of love, the law fulfilled, Jesus himself, the new kingdom, the takeover for planet Earth in those times was right in front of him. And that was not the answer he was expecting to hear. And I'm just going to say this by the Holy Spirit right now. The answer that you may be looking for this week may not be the one that you're expecting to hear. You know, expectation is a great thing. I mean, Josh just taught us on that. That was an amazing ministry on praise and how it brings expectation, and how we can do it in advance for what God is going to do. Expectation is great. But if you already know the answer that you want to hear for what you're expecting from God, just stop. Does that make sense? If you already know the answer that you want to hear, like I'll give you an example. A lot of times I'll talk to youth, and maybe the Lord has put them on our heart for them to come to Go Ministries. And I only say that if it's by the Lord. And I'm like, been counseling with this girl for year after year since she's in junior high. And it's like, she's coming to Go, and she's coming to Go, and she's coming to Go. And then all of a sudden, like, her senior year hits or junior year hits, and she got a boyfriend. And I'm just making this up because I'm just telling you from my experience. This isn't actually a person. And all of a sudden, you know, she comes back. We come back to her church that next year, and her life is completely different. She's on a different path. She's followed a guy instead of Jesus, or she's followed her own will instead of Jesus, and now she's going to dental school. And I only say that because why is it that we all, ladies, when we don't know what God's got for us, we go to dental school? Every junior and senior girl I talk to go, I'm going to dental school. Like, so is every other girl your age. We're going to have some awesome dental hygienists. No, I want some rockin' Jesus girls who are ready to overtake and overthrow this world for Jesus Christ, not in the dentist chair. Amen? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that if that's what you are, feel called to. But very gently I say, did the Lord tell you to do that? Well, yeah, this is what they're doing. Lord, I know I'm supposed to go ministries, but can you give me a bypass to my life and just give me a different path? And I'm going to go to dental hygienist school. Dental, what is it called? You get the drift. See, they already have the answer that they want, so their ears are closed and their heart is unresponsive to what the Lord actually has for them. Don't ever come into his presence with an expectancy to hear what you already have or what you already know, because guess what? God's got more. He's going to give you something you didn't have. He's going to give you something you didn't know. Amen? You may hear Go Ministries or whoever the speakers are quote the same scriptures that you've heard before. Man, my youth pastor's been talking about that, and we do those same songs in our youth ministry, and I've heard these songs every year. Listen, you already have the answer to your question, and you're not going to receive from the Lord. You come to him expectant to hear something new through that same scripture and that same song and that same convention. Don't have the answer prior to God giving it to you. Amen? So, Lord, I just want you to know that I'm going to go do this dental hygiene school for you. And I'm going to save those teeth for Jesus. And I'm going to clean those to the glory of God. I'm cleaning people's teeth for the glory of God. I mean, this is what we do. We take the answer that we weren't expecting. You know, he's like, you know, I want you to go to ministries, remember? Or I want you to go into the ministry, or I want you to go to this school, or I want you to do this, or whatever it is that he's called you to do. And you're like, yep, I got that, Lord. I'm going to dental hygienist school. What is the word for that? Dental, is that right? Dental hygiene school? Yep, I got that, Lord. Yep, and I'm going to do it for the glory of God. Yes. See, we just go along with our plans because what his answer for us was different than what we wanted. Don't ever do that for the Lord. Listen, don't ever put him in a box. Dad said it this morning. God is XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXL. And so his plans are so much bigger, and they may seem a little different on the front. Listen, you better believe that answer was not what he was looking for. You got to sell everything. He was a rich young ruler. The Bible was thought it was important that we knew he was rich. And he was a ruler. That was not the most posh answer to give this man. Sell it all. See, but he got so focused on what he was having to give up. He got so focused on what he was going to have to let go of that he couldn't even focus on the one. He already told him, I'm the one. I'm the one. Wait, you want all these rules and you've been all doing all these commandments? I'm the one rule. I'm the one commandment that you love me. Listen, it was so much easier for this young man. This young man, his life was about to change, be taken over, and radically be so much easier than he was living before. But it wasn't the answer he wanted. Why? Because he was so restrained by the things he had to give up that he never was able to tap into the one who could be the answer and the saving power for him. And that's what a lot of times we do. We're so focused on our own plans, so focused on what we have and what I know. And listen, throw it in the trash. Throw it in the trash. Get a clean slate this week and just say, Lord, what is it that you have for me? And I guarantee you, you're going to hear the same thing. It'll be, follow me. Follow me. And in verse 22, he says, that was not the answer that this young man was looking for or expected to hear. And so, crestfallen or head down, he walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things, and he couldn't bear to let go. He was holding on to a lot of things, and he couldn't bear to let go. Listen, I'm telling you, let go tonight. There's this song, you guys coming to Manifest concert in a couple nights. Is that Wednesday night? Minister. Minister is Wednesday night. He's one of our favorite rappers. We've gotten the chance to minister alongside of him a couple times, and he has this song called A Let Go, A Let Go, and it is so awesome. We bumped that thing in our car. We're like, let go. This guy couldn't let go, and I'm telling you this week, let go. It's so scary, that step of faith, and it's what is on the other side, but what is on the other side is a life sustained only by Jesus alone, and it is the most amazing life, the most amazing plan. It may be different than what you're used to. It may be different than what you thought your life was going to look like, but I'm telling you, guaranteed 100%, if it's Jesus, it's right, and it's beautiful. Amen? And you'll never know until you step onto that place, because this man left, and he left the presence of Jesus not having the answer he was looking for. Now, I bring it to this century, this morning. One of the saddest things as a worship leader that I could ever encounter is people coming up expecting the Lord, coming into worship, and leaving with their head down unchanged. Every time we come into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should be changed. And I want you to know that that change doesn't fall on you. Maybe if I just praise enough. Now, Josh just gave us some instructions. Don't get me wrong. Maybe if I just jump enough. No, it's faith in Jesus and who he is, and then he does the work inside of you. He gives the more. He draws you closer, and the more you do that, the more you just let go. You just let go. You let go of those things. How many have ever had an amazing time in his presence where you were addicted to something, or you were doing something your own way, or you were going your own path, and all of a sudden when you left that worship set or you left that service, you were going a different way. You dropped that thing at the altar and you never picked it back up. Me too. At that altar when I was 21, I dropped addictions and all my own way. I was going my own way, and I have never looked back. That is what is available for you guys this week. That was what was available for this rich young ruler. He had Jesus right in front of him. Listen, this week you have Jesus in the house. He is in this house. He's not just this facade. He's just not this name that we talk about. He is a person, and he's here, and he's the answer, and he's ready to fulfill every single desire, every single thing, that answer that you need. He's in the house this week, and the saddest thing for you to be coming here, sitting in those chairs, coming up to the altar, listening to God's word, coming into his presence through praise and worship, and leave unchanged. You would be just like the rich young ruler. And listen what he tells his disciples. I think they were just dumbfounded. If that was me, I probably would have said like something like this. That dummy. That's probably what I would have said back then. That dummy. What is he doing? This is the life, man. We're living the life. This is awesome. Does he not see how awesome our lives are? And Jesus says, well, this is what's good there. So they're questioning Jesus and they're saying, what is going on? Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it will be difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 25, when the disciples heard this, they were utterly puzzled, astonished, bewildered, saying, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. What he is saying is this new takeover, this new system, which is simply this, not obey your mom and dad, honor your father and mother, do not commit adultery, do not, all those things he gave, the new system was follow me. That was the new system. And he was saying, look at what you did. You followed me. What was impossible to this man was possible to you because you had faith in God. And in a few chapters earlier, I want to read this to you. How am I doing? Praise the Lord. Just in case you need some more verification, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus is talking to his disciples about some of the same things. He said, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests. This Christianity, this walk with Jesus, I don't know if anyone told you about it when you signed up to ask Jesus into your heart, but this is what it meant. We've got too many of us doing our own will, doing our own desires, doing everything that we want to do, but saying that we're followers of Jesus. Mm-mm. Listen, it's a very defined line in the sand that Jesus is making right here. He said, really, you want to be my disciple? All right, this is what it's going to take. Just the same way he did with this rich young ruler. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal, and it says, and take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. Ooh, we don't like that part. Let's just skip over that part, okay? Let's just go on to verse 25. No. Jesus knew what he was talking about. He knew that there was some dying that needed to go on. My dad had this this teaching that I preached when I first started preaching. When I first started preaching, I didn't know what to preach, so I just preached everything Dad preached. I listened to his CDs, and then I would preach them. And he preached this message for years and years when I grew up, and it was called Dead Man Walking. And there are some things that have been hanging on to you that are dead, that are causing you to die spiritually, that are causing you to dry up spiritually. And Jesus knew those things, and that's why he said, you must leave them so that you can follow me, because you can't follow him and you're carrying a dead man. You know how heavy that would be, or these dead things, or these sandbags, or whatever it is that you want to imagine that are holding you back, that heaviness, that weight, that sin, and follow him. Now, there's grace that will lift you up and above your sin into righteousness that is glorious, and you can live this life for Jesus. But as long as you are sin conscious, and as long as you are, I got to be this and I got to do this, all you got to do is follow him. All you have to do is choose to follow Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me finish this. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, those things, the comforts and security here, shall lose it. And whoever loses his comfort and security here for my sake shall find it life everlasting. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? And I love how the Amplified puts this, his blessed life in the kingdom of God. See, there it is. Do you have that saying ready for me? Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? We started off this session by saying, what do you have that you're not willing to give? What do you have that you're not willing to give up to follow Jesus? I hope the answer finds that you at nothing. There's nothing I wouldn't give. Because on the other side of that giving, just imagine what that rich young ruler's life would have looked like. It was the blessed life. It was the life the disciples, guess what we're going to be talking about all week? What the disciples did after Jesus left, the exploits and the things. I mean, they had the most adventurous life, and I know it because I live it now. My life is adventurous and doing exploits for Jesus and going all over the world and preaching the gospel and getting to minister to his people and be a part of his body. That's what was on the other side of that rich young ruler's decision that day. But he was holding on to too much. So if I could convince you this morning by the Holy Spirit to let go of the things that are holding you back so that you can go to the blessed life. Do you have that available to me? The Lord told it to me like this. We tend to embrace the sacrifice of deadening to self that we rarely get to see the benefits of being alive in Christ. See, it's twofold, people. We're so stuck. The rich young ruler, us sometimes, we're so stuck on that. Okay, deny myself. Give up myself. Oh, close the book right there. I just can't do that. Didn't I tell you I wanted to be a dental hygienist? Didn't I tell you? That's what I want to do with my life. We don't want to give up our own. Didn't you? I've been told my whole life I'm a natural born leader, and that's what I'm going to do. Or I've been to, this is what, we have these ideas. We already have the answer. Even though we may be seeking God, even though we may be coming to convention and opening our Bible and getting our notebooks out and coming up to the altar, we're seeking God. We're wanting answers just like the rich young ruler was. He went to Jesus himself. But we already have the answer to our own question because we're not willing to take the step of obedience past deadening or dying to self. That we rarely ever get to experience the benefits of living in Christ. I don't want a generation to have to wait till they're 21 like I did to be living in the benefits of living fully in Jesus Christ. You can be living it now at your age and your situation. This is what God wants for his generation, a radical takeover of a whole age group where you will then begin to change the outcome of what this world looks like. They will begin to look at you and go, I want what they've got. I want what they have. That is what I want. That's what I said. I want what they have. They're cool. They love Jesus, and they look awesome. They dress them. That's what I want. And that's what people are going to be doing to you. I want what they have. But we got to get past the deadening to self. We close the book. We just say, oh, my goodness. We get, my dad says, 1-800-BOOHOO-EXTENSION WHAA. Thank you. You've been listening to his CDs? That's awesome. We whine and cry, Lord, but I wanted to go to dental hygienist school. Or Lord, I wanted that boyfriend. Or Lord, I wanted that. We're not willing to get the answers from him, even though we desire it and we're hungry for it. We shut the book because we think that that's so hard to die to self. Guess what? It is for a moment to just have to kill your flesh. It's like, all right, once and for all, I'm done with this addiction. Once and for all, I'm done with porn. Once and for all, I'm done with going after a guy. Once and for all, I'm done with this. Your flesh is going to scream. It's not fun on your flesh. But on the other side, it's twofold. Don't ever forget the hope in Jesus, that he doesn't ever ask you to give up something without giving you something in return. He actually says a couple chapters later, in that same chapter, in chapter 19 of Matthew, he says, don't think you give up one thing for me that I won't give back to you 100-fold in this life. In this life. That's the promise of Jesus. What you give up, he will give you better. But you got to get to a realization that what I've got's not so great. Being a dental hygienist is not that great. This boyfriend, he's not that great. I could go through every single one of my boyfriends and go, they weren't so great. Especially on a comparison to what the Lord had for me, and that was Josh. It's not so great. That addiction, it's not so great. It just leaves me wanting more. I have to go back to it every single time. It's so annoying. It just keeps pulling me back. It's not so great. You have to come to the realization in yourself. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Jesus can't do it for you. You got to come to a deadening of self, saying, what I've got ain't that great. But what he has, I'm ready to receive. So I'm willing to let go of these things and receive the blessed life of the kingdom of God. He said, so what would you trade? Jesus said that. What would you trade for your blessed life in the kingdom of God? What's your answer today? Nothing. 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 I know I'll never go back to smoking again. I know I'll never go back to drugs and alcohol. I know I'll never go back to those things because nobody could convince me, even in my flesh's weakest moment in the entire world, if I was out in the wilderness, nobody can convince me that that is better than what I got. And that's where I want this generation. That's where he wants this generation. What you got, nothing can trade. You can't trade anything, not silver or gold. There is nothing that is more precious than my Jesus. And I've got him, and you couldn't put temptation in front of me. That's how you overcome. That is the ultimate takeover. That's how you overcome sin. Not don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. You overcome because nothing is greater than my Jesus. Nothing is better. And at this point, if what you've got and your evaluation of yourself is not as good as him, I'm asking you that you would lay it aside. The Lord is searching your heart right now and showing you those areas in your life that need to be laid aside. Let go, so that you can see all the benefits of being alive in Christ. Amen. Would you guys close your eyes with me? Father, I just thank you right now that you're speaking to every single individual in this place. Lord, I believe this word was for them. I believe it's specific for each one of them to receive this morning or this afternoon. I thank you. Holy Spirit, you're revealing, you're bringing light to areas in their life that need change. Not because you're not pleased, not because you're demanding, but because you've got better. And I thank you that they see a clear image of Jesus right now. Jesus, make yourself known to this generation. Reveal yourself right now in this session, right now as they have their eyes closed, focused on you. Reveal yourself to them and how good you are. And that everything that you have for them is better than what they have. The Bible says that his love is better than life. It's better than life itself. Father, reveal that kind of love to them. Show them their sonship. Show them that they're daughters in you. Show them that they're loved, Lord. Reveal yourself and your heart and your plans to this generation sitting in this room right now so that they can confidently and boldly respond to this invitation. Not by coaxing or not because it's just another good altar call, but they can respond honestly and confidently within themselves. What I've got is not as good as you. And I want you to answer that right now with your eyes closed, your eyes fixed on Jesus. Let him reveal the areas in your life that haven't been so great and see him saying, just hand it over to me. Just give it up, let go. And follow me completely. Hear the Lord Jesus saying to you, I've got a blessed life for you. I've got a blessed plan. I've got a love story written for you. I've got the most amazing husband for you. I've got the most amazing wife for you. I've got the most amazing school for you. I've got the most amazing internship for you. I've got the most amazing plans for you. I've got the most amazing plans in this blessed life living for me in my kingdom. But you got to see that. Let him reveal that to you right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I just believe in your heart right now, we're just going to release some things by the Spirit. Just, Lord, help us release some things. You ready to just let go of those things? If you're ready to let go of some things, I want you to just stand to your feet. And let's just lift our hands, like Josh said. Lift our hands in a sign of surrender, saying, Lord, I'm just letting go. I'm letting go of these things. I'm letting go of the things that I've been holding on to that have kept me from the fullness of life in Jesus. Nothing is better. Come on, just hear yourself saying that. Hear your thoughts. Go over that in your mind. Meditate on that. Nothing is better than Jesus. Can I have, is Josh back there? I want to sing that song that we sang this morning because I think it might mean something more to you now. Since we have a little bit of extra time, are we still good? I think it'll mean something more to you as you sing this song, Jesus, Jesus, all I want is more of you. Less of me and more of you. Just lift your hands as a sign of surrender. Just come on, have conversation with the Lord. This is between you. Remember, Lacey's not talking you into this. Jesus isn't even talking you into this. You are talking yourself into this. What he has is better than what I have. And I'm willing. See yourself being willing to hand it over to Jesus. Telling him, yes, Lord. Just say that with me. Yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, you got to get used to hearing yourself saying, yes, Lord. Whatever it is, have your way. Take it. Jesus, you're all I want. Jesus, I'm not willing to hang on to these things because your life is better. Your life and the things that you have for me is better. Let's sing this together.